am joined on the stage this morning by a lovely woman named Kim Allard. Kim's husband, Andy, sitting right back there, right there. I got you too confused. You're both dressed exactly alike. Well, not exactly, but you're both dressed very well this morning, and so that's why I was confused. But Kim's husband, Andy, is one of the elders here at Sherwood Oaks. And Kim, I learned not too awfully long, let me rearrange myself so I can actually see you, is on the board of a ministry that we support in Guatemala.
Correct.
So before we begin, tell us just a little bit about yourself and what you do in what we call real life. Like, what's your responsibilities and role?
Okay. Well, like you said, my name is Kim Allard. We've lived in Bloomington for 15 years. Sherwood Oaks has been our church home since we moved here. We went on a Super Bowl Sunday and never left. So
Look
we had
that.
Us hooked.
Yeah.
I was baptized that May when we joined the church by Roger Clark, who was here last week.
Awesome.
So it was a great time to connect there. And my day life, my career is I'm a teacher. I teach sixth grade at Clear Creek Christian School in Bloomington. I was a preschool teacher for 7 years at Sherwood Oaks, Bloomington, and then moved in back into my role as an elementary teacher. But I'm trained as a teacher, and I'm on hiatus right now.
You're what?
1 full week of summer.
Oh, yeah. You love that.
Yeah.
Teachers, that's one of the benefits. So tell me about your role. Well, first of all, let's talk about Agua Viva. Tell me a little bit about Agua Viva.
Agua Viva, is this on?
Okay. Yeah.
Is a school in Chimaltenango, Guatemala. It's about an hour west of Guatemala City, and we serve the under-resourced area of Chimaltenango. It is a very poor region in Guatemala. 65% of Chimaltenango live below the poverty line, and 15% there live in extreme poverty, which would be living off $1.50 or less in U.S. dollars per day.
Wow.
And so it's a region that is very poor, but Agua Viva is a Christian-led school providing education where we can hope to make generational change to the people of Guatemala.
Yeah. So we have a very unique history with Agua Viva because of a woman named
Joyce Heinlein.
So tell us a little bit about Joyce and her ministry to Agua Viva.
Well, Joyce and her husband became involved back in 1976. There was an earthquake there in Guatemala. And a lot of people were displaced, and there became a huge amount of children that were orphaned. And so they came to help with that and the orphan children there, and Agua Viva came from there. It first started out as an orphanage, and then they helped children. They had children that lived there, and as the laws changed through Guatemala and they changed their processes, now we're fully focused on education.
Okay, perfect. Now, how did you get involved with this ministry?
Well, that's interesting. The first year we were at Sherwood Oaks, I was teaching preschool, and we have that global market guide where they share all the ministries that we can support. Mm-hmm. And as I was reading through, I found the one about Guatemala Children's Mission, which is our governing board that I just joined. And I said, I want to go there.
And so you went.
I didn't go.
Oh, okay.
I wish. I felt very strongly to go there, but Andy was like, I don't. And it was something that I was able to support through the school and do some things Brad talked about. It was just always a dream to go there.
Yeah.
And we actually didn't get to go until 2017. Yeah. We went on a mission trip with the church, and our whole family went. Our daughters wanted to go, and that was also there had been several years of fortitude where Andy said, yeah, I think I can go with you. And we went and fell in love, and it's one of the places on earth that I feel like I felt God's presence there.
Mm-hmm.
I felt him there stronger than anywhere else. There's extreme poverty, but so much joy when you're there. And so it's hard to reconcile. Well, we come from a world of so many things and first world problems and things that I get caught up. And there's such a warm culture, and they're living in this poverty-stricken region. And it's just unabounding joy.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So I felt God there.
So you were asked to join their team on the board. So
I
how
was.
Did that call come, and how did you sense your response to it?
I know I thought a lot about this, and it's really interesting. I think, it was through Brad Pontius, our mission director at Sherwood Oaks, and he'd asked, and I said, yes, not really. Like, it was just kind of like I just jumped right in the stream and was going down. And then after I took time to think about it, I thought, I wonder what I have to do. Like, you know, that didn't even cross my mind. I said, yes, I want to do that. If it means I get to be involved and support Agua Viva and have the opportunity to go back and fulfill their mission, I'm all in. So it's kind of like I just jumped right in and started downstream.
Yeah.
And so, which is kind of crazy because I like to plan things. I'm a teacher. But I said, okay.
You just sensed that yep. This was the thing you needed to do.
Yes.
And normally you're a logical person.
Yeah.
You're a processor. But this
I tend to be, yeah.
That's cool. That's cool. We're going to talk a little bit about how the Holy Spirit speaks into our lives.
Okay.
And you represent both streams of thought right there.
Okay.
So how does the Holy Spirit use your unique giftings in that capacity?
Okay, well, I think it's interesting. I've loved kids my whole life. I always knew I wanted to be a teacher since I was probably about 4. I got my first chalkboard, and I was like, that's it. This is what I'm doing. But since I've been trained as a teacher, I have that aspect of education. I understand the teachers and what they've been going through. I love serving. I feel most like myself when I'm serving. Mm-hmm. And I shared with Brad, too, sometimes serving brings me such joy. I feel guilty because I feel like I'm getting more out of it than I'm mm-hmm. actually providing someone else. Mm-hmm. I'm support for them, and it's a unique perspective. Currently, I'm the only teacher on the board. And they haven't had that. And so it brings a different perspective. You can look at the financials and what you have to do to run the school, but knowing what it's like from a different viewpoint is, I think, is what I share.
Yeah, I love that. If we were to invite people from Sherwood Oaks, Bedford to go, what kinds of people would be great fits for this ministry? What kind of gifts are they looking for?
Oh, gosh. Everyone. And there are so many different things to do there. I think that's probably one of the things, and I won't speak for Andy, but, you know, he's like, what would I do there? There's just something to do. There's a lot of relational things. You get to interact with the students when they're there on campus. There's work projects. We have 3 funds going right now that we're trying to raise money for. We want to complete kind of the road around the school because we have so many vans and buses now. We need to replace a roof. There's painting, just updating. Spending time with people in the community, praying. There's a multitude of things. Playing with the kids.
One of the things that we want to do at Sherwood Oaks this year is really raise our global missions temperature here.
Okay.
We do great locally, mm-hmm. but we don't really have a visible presence outside of our community. And so we want to lean into that. And so I'm always looking for opportunities. And the Agua Viva Children's Home has been on my radar for many, many years generally. But knowing that you're now on the board gives me sort of an additional connection there. So thank you for saying yes to the Holy Spirit and responding and going and serving there.
Thank you. It was an easy yes.
Let me pray for you.
Okay.
Father, I thank you for Kim, and I thank you for her heart. I thank you for the way that you use her training and her passions and her zeal and the way that you've designed her to serve not just the local church, not just the kids in this community, but God, you're using her around the world to change, again, the trajectory of their lives, to change the future of those kids and the families that will come after them. So God, I pray a blessing on her. I pray a blessing on that wonderful ministry in Guatemala. And God, I pray that you would provide everything they need to accomplish the goals that you've given to them. I know you will by the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Kim.
Thank you.
Well, like I said, I love hearing how people are using their skill sets in other capacities. We're on the last week of our Holy Spirit series. I wish we had another one, and I would cheat and just give us another one, but I'm excited about the next one, too. We're going to be going through Hebrews chapter 11, the heroes of our faith. And if you look through Hebrews 11, this is just a promo for the summer. So many names there, it's going to provide us a sort of an overview of the Old Testament as well. So I'm excited about that. But when we talk about the Holy Spirit, there were some questions that came out. One of the questions was, what about the crazy stuff? If you grew up in this area, you probably know that there's churches where a little bit of crazy stuff. I shared a little bit last week, some of my own experience. So real quickly, just to answer this question, get out of the way. The crazy stuff generally happens when people respond in human ways to a move of the Spirit. And some of those human responses are good, and reasonable and healthy, and others of them are just questionable. And so in general, the way we respond to the questionable stuff is just to line it up against God's word. And if it doesn't quite match, you can dismiss it and not worry too much about it. If it does, you respond to it the way God wants you to respond. But because of the questionable stuff, it's very often that we find it just easier to dismiss the whole idea of the Holy Spirit. In fact, I know some people who say, well, I'm not really geared towards, you know, hearing from the Holy Spirit. I would argue that you are geared to hear from the Holy Spirit, and you are designed to hear from the Holy Spirit, because this is the way that God demonstrates his love for us. He pours out his love into our lives through the Holy Spirit. This is what Romans 5:5 says. God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. God's gift to us, the Holy Spirit, is the way he demonstrates his love to us. Last week, we talked about individually how the Holy Spirit shows love to us by being our eternal companion. He teaches us. He nudges us when something's not right in our lives. He prays for us and comforts us. And that comfort is not just a pat on the back consolation. It is a confidence that the Holy Spirit gives us to fight the good fight. That's how he works in us individually. And you may have discovered that. But today we're looking at how he works in us collectively. And Kim's story is integral to what we're going to be talking about. He works in us collectively as the body of Christ. And he does that through the spiritual gifts that he entrusts to each one of us. Now, last month we were in 1 Corinthians, and if you recall, and I'm sure you all do, in the first chapter of 1 Corinthians, Paul says this to the Corinthians. He goes, you lack no spiritual gift. That church had it all, it seemed. But he said this in chapter 12, 1. He goes, but there's some confusion. He says this, now about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. That uninformed is this agneo, and it's where we get the term agnostic. Maybe you've met someone who says they are agnostic. And that's simply like the word just means I don't understand, or to sin through a mistake. So that agneo. And Paul says, I don't want you to make some mistakes or sin through mistakes just because you don't fully understand this. So we need to get this spiritual gifts stuff, this Holy Spirit stuff right, because this is how God's love is poured out in our church and in the community around us. And so in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 4 through 11, he talks about and lays a foundation for how we understand how the Holy Spirit works within the body of Christ through spiritual gifts. He says this in verse 4, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in every one, it is the same God at work. And he says, now to each one of us, some manifestation of the Spirit is given. Why? For the common good. Some of us are more empathic. We feel things. Any empaths, you sort of just, I felt the Holy Spirit impress on me. I sensed somehow, my spirit was drawn to this. Some of us are very empathic. I guess me and Freedom, you're an empath. We're the only ones, I guess, in this room. Yeah. The rest of you guys must be engineer logical types, because some of us are much more logical. If we're directed by the Holy Spirit, we are directed through reasoning and knowledge that God will give us and pour into our lives. So we think through our processes. We don't feel through our processes. But Paul says this, don't be ignorant, because whether you feel or whether you reason, it's the same Spirit. This is the same God at work in our lives. And he says this in verse 8, he says, to one there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom, to another a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by that one Spirit, to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues. It's interesting, isn't it? Different kinds of tongues. That was one of the questions that people had. Are there different kinds of tongues? And Paul seems to say, yes, there are. I can think of some right off the bat. Today's the day of Pentecost. We celebrate Acts chapter 2 when the Holy Spirit descended and gave different tongues to the people gathered, so that those who had come in for that festival of Shavuot could hear in their own language the message of the gospel. That was a tongue that evangelized. If you read through Acts, you'll read through Acts chapter 10 and Acts chapter 19. Acts chapter 10, we talk about Peter going to Cornelius' house, and he prays for them, and they receive Christ and speak in a tongue. Now, they were Gentiles. Did you notice that? Another place, they're going to Ephesus, and they're preaching the gospel to the men in Ephesus who are Gentiles. And the Holy Spirit speaks, and they speak in tongues, which is a confirmation to those Jewish apostles that, God's Spirit is not just on us Jews, but God's Spirit is on these Gentiles as well. He's doing something beyond our original idea. But in Corinthians, he talks about people who prophesy and pray in tongues. So there are different kinds of tongues. Some are used for evangelistic purposes, and some, it seems, are used as an expression of worship. An expression of worship that requires the next gift, which he says this in verse 10 and 11. To still another, the interpretation of tongues. Someone asked, what would we do if someone spoke in tongues here? Well, I would politely ask for an interpretation so that we all can understand what's being said. So, verse 11, all of these are the work of one and the same Spirit. Did you get that? And He distributes them to each one just as he determines. Like different parts of the body with different functions, we have different gifts and abilities. And you say, how do I discover what my spiritual gift is? That was a question mark. And I've got a great answer for you. On July 19th, it's a Wednesday night, and July 26th, another Wednesday night, Brad Pontius, who Kim mentioned, is going to be down here. Brad's been doing a spiritual gifts assessment class for several years. It's really good. He's going to offer that down here. If you're interested, we'll have some sign-up sheets so you can he'll know how many to count on. But discovering your spiritual gifts is a great way to moving more deeply into hearing and experiencing how the Holy Spirit is working through you. But Paul says this, there were no spiritual gifts assessments back in the days of the Corinthian church. And Paul says this in Romans 12:6, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. In other words, if you got a talent, if you got an ability, if you got some training, use it. Jump in and use it. If prophecy, prophesy as you are able to prophesy in proportion to your faith. If service, then in serving, jump in and help. If teaching, then teach. The one who exhorts, exhort, encourage. The one who contributes, man, if you've got money to spare and give and be generous, by all means, do so. We've got a playground to build for our children's preschool, and we need some money to do that. If you're a leader and you got leadership skills, by golly, don't sit on your rear end and wait for someone else to do it. Jump up and lead. The one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. Romans 5:5 says, these Holy Spirit gifts, remember, are the expression of God's love poured out on us. Any gift or ability that God has entrusted to you, can be used to build up his church is a spiritual gift. Just as an aside, I've been in churches where some gifts were spiritual and others were just talents. And let me just tell you that if you have a talent, if you have an ability, where does that come from? It comes from God. It's a spiritual gift. Use it. Now, Paul says in verse 29 of 1 Corinthians 12, not everyone has healing gifts, not everyone has tongues gifts, not everyone teaches, not everyone can work miracles, but as God appointed, as the Spirit has determined, gifts are distributed. Then he says something interesting, but eagerly desire the greater gifts. Now, what does that mean? So the Holy Spirit distributes them, but we can ask for preferential treatment? Is that what that means? No, I think that simply means that we can pray for gifts that serve and build up the body of Christ. If we sense a need, Lord, help us with this area. We need people with gifts in this area. Now, what are these greater gifts that we're going to pray for, that we've been given permission to eagerly desire? Well, if you are familiar with 1 Corinthians, and the chapter that comes after chapter 12 is the passage that many of us have heard read at our weddings time and time and time and time again. It's called the love chapter. And this is how we determine what spiritual gifts are the better and greater gifts. The ones that serve the common good and express God's love more authentically. So here, what about the weird stuff? Well, if a spiritual gift or a spiritual expression does not express God's love or serve and build up the body of Christ, you can safely dismiss it and not spend any time worrying about it or losing sleep over it. You let that go. The Holy Spirit distributes gifts as he wills, but we can pray for and cultivate the gifts that best serve our church and communities. So Kim can use her gifts of leadership and that training as a teacher, her experience in schools, and she can help and serve on that board in a way that no other board member can serve. I love that. So that a ministry to children in Guatemala can flourish and children's lives can be impacted, not just today, but tomorrow and the rest of their lives. I love that. Christy and Nate aren't here, but I love how Christy Flynn gets to use her administration gifts in planning and organizing and supervising so that we can reach our God-given goals here as a church. Where Carla can use her experience as a preschool teacher to get a preschool started here. I love that. She's using her spiritual gifts. Where Jeff and Nate use these gifts of exhortation to encourage and challenge and support the men in our congregation to be all that God has designed them to be. Where Kamal uses his medical expertise, and Janelle, maybe you don't know Janelle, maybe you won't ever, but she's got some experience in trauma therapy, and she can use her training. And Kamal can use his medical training to restore others physically and emotionally and mentally and spiritually. Gifts of healing right here in our congregation. Where Rob and Kenna use their gifts of service and hospitality to make people, even strangers, feel welcome. And they've got a place here. Where Bode and Brian, and I know Brandon's back there today helping out, where they get to use their technical skills to make sure that what happens here on Sunday morning works like it should, or as close to possible to that. It's a challenge every week, isn't it? Where Darren Swango and Matt Canoy share God's mercy to those who are going through a rough patch, and they offer practical need. I love how God uses the body of Christ to pour out his love and let us experience his love through the Holy Spirit working through these individuals. For Mond and Cammie and Darren, who pray for people after the church. They've got faith that will benefit and bless and build up our church and community. Appreciate how the Holy Spirit uses Heather and Brandon's team of people and workers in our children's ministry to teach and instruct our children God's word. They're using their gifts of mercy and helps and teaching to help raise your children in faith. I thank God for people like Rob and Alan and Steve back there. Their experience as pastors have given them wisdom that he's entrusted to them so that it can be shared with us as we work through what it looks like to be the best church for our community. I'm thankful for how the Holy Spirit uses all of you, to draw people to this place to experience God's love and to love others. We're going to share communion here in just a moment. Before we do, we're going to remind ourselves that we all, through the Holy Spirit, live in the grace of God's goodness. He is pouring out his love on us every time we gather. And he's using you to pour out his love on everyone you encounter this week. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the way your Holy Spirit is working and challenging us individually so that we together may use those gifts that you have entrusted to us to build up the body of Christ. And all of it, we remind ourselves that this is the way that you show your love for us. This is the way that we live in your goodness. We give thanks for that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message from Sherwood Oaks Christian Church. Did you know you can watch all of our video content, both current and past, on our YouTube channel? Visit youtube.com/Sherwood Oaks to watch messages, series, and complete worship services.